Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop once again, and we've got a great show tonight because we got a prime guest. Not that every guest isn't prime, but this guy was Optimus Prime. No, he was Megatron.
Played,
and yeah, I'm sorry.
He, well, both.
Both. Both. They played both of them. See,
yes.
See, I don't even stand corrected. I'm right. David Kay is with us tonight. David, wave hi. Say hi.
How are you?
We're good. We're good.
How are you?
Right. We're going to talk about all sorts of cool stuff. If you got a question for him, throw it in our chat room, whether on Facebook or on YouTube, and we'll get to those questions in just a little bit. So stay tuned. George, you ready to roll?
I'm ready to go.
It's time for VoiceOver Body Shop right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittam, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master. A professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the voiceover world today, letting you ask your questions and giving you the latest information to make the most of your voiceover business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, JMC Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO
BS.
Oh, you know, it's like time to roll. The intro ends and suddenly it's like showtime.
We're
always
on.
Exciting. It's always fun to
the hard
be
part's
live.
Remembering where to look. Yeah, look in that little
it's
round
this thing right
there.
Here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the important part. But we have some cool stuff to talk about tonight. And, you know, we have a great guest. And it's beautiful weather here in Southern California, except that it's allergy season because all the citrus is in bloom. So
it's pretty brutal if you have allergies here right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, do I have COVID? Do I, you know, and George and I sign out on taking a COVID test and it's like totally negative.
Okay, good. I'll be doing mine later.
Oh, okay, good.
On the air.
And I want the, and I want the results because we were all in here yesterday. Anyway, it's time to introduce our guest. He has a hard out at 5:45, so we want to make sure we have a full amount of time with him.
Get to it.
It's right. David Kay was the voice of Megatron in Beast Wars, Beast Machines, Armada, and Energon. I don't watch that. And Cybertron, as well as Optimus Prime in Transformers Animated. David was also cast in some of the first of hundreds of animated shows and video games. So he's been doing this a while. He's like at the, you know, the foundation of all this. So many, in fact, he's now become the main focus of his career, and he's never looked back. Animation is great. Let's welcome back to VoiceOver Body Shop our good friend David Kay.
Hey.
Good to see you. Thank you for joining us.
The single clap, that's pretty much my life. That's good.
Sort of like a golf clap.
Yeah,
know?
That's it.
And it's in your headphones, too.
It is,
just
yeah.
a clapping sound in your headphones.
And I don't wear this normally. I have to scoot off to a thing and that I really don't want to go to, but I paid for it, so I got to go.
Oh, you can be late.
Otherwise, I'll be in my pajamas. So.
Well, welcome back to the show. We haven't had you on in a long time, you've joined us again. And now you've had a great career, but you know, you're from my old neck of the the woods. You're from Peterborough, Ontario, home of the Peterborough Peets.
just north of the border.
You're just north of the border. Well, it's like northeast of Toronto, you know, mm-hmm. as they say. But
well, you were in Buffalo, so how was that in relation to Buffalo?
So I grew up on Buffalo television. I grew up right. with Commander Tom. I grew up, you know, Promo the Robot. I get those cartoons. I mean, all of it. Captain Kangaroo. I watched, you know, WKBW TV Eyewitness News with Irv Weinstein. I grew up on it. You know, it was, I didn't watch Canadian television. I want to be part of that. You know, I love Buffalo TV and the personalities. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the cool thing there was everybody had to rotate their antenna one way or the other. If I wanted to watch a hockey game on Hockey Night in Canada and listen to, you know, Bill Hewitt or Foster Hewitt, hello, Canada, you know, I would have
hello,
to do
Canada
that.
Canada around.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, what was Canada broadcast like at that time that made American broadcaster Buffalo so intriguing? What was it like?
Well, I was going to school for radio broadcasting and communications across the border from Ogdensburg, New York, and we used to listen to the WPXY, I think, all those stations up, you know, and it just sounded bigger. And I found out later that they use level devils and compression, and
yeah,
and it just sounded like, why does it sound so cool and big and important? And then I would go to work when I was 17 or 18 years old, and it sounded like coming out of a tin box. And you know, and I got in trouble one night because Eddie Crompton, the engineer, was this guy, and God love he had a temper like. And it was like the third or fourth day on the night on the job, Saturday overnight, weekends, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I was horrible. And I said, screw this. I was talking to my buddy on the phone, and I actually, there's a equalizer, EQ, in the transmitter, and I was in the studio, mm-hmm. and I started bumping up the bass.
Oh, don't touch that stuff.
And at 2 in the morning, I'm sitting there and just, you know, rocking out the AM signal, and I don't know what. And the door's like 2 a.m., wham! And it's Eddie, don't you ever touch that.
No,
you don't touch. And I was like, holy shit, you know, like a kid. I'm like a kid, and it's this adult coming and screaming at me 2 in the morning. And so I didn't touch it just drove me nuts. Why can't we sound big when important? So I didn't know the technicality of it all. I just wanted to sound better.
Yeah.
I had, like, even back then I had an ear, like I did. I knew that, you know, something sucked and I didn't like it. How come they sound good? And so that drove me nuts. And so from a very young age, and the fact that I couldn't order anything from the back of a comic book and get it to my house in Canada, I remember when I first moved to Burbank, and I said, hey, you know what? I can order wine. I can order gimmicks and jokes in the back of comic books, and I can get them in my house for like $5, you know, whatever it was. And all the radio stations sounded really cool. So anyway, that was just my goofy thing, you know.
It's business. Cool to hear it from your perspective from Canada. Like you hear that.
I mean, look, the radio was great, and CFTR in Toronto had great, you know, Tom Records, Landecker was on there, and you know, there's some amazing personalities in Toronto. And
well, we all know the talent in Canada is amazing. There's so much Vancouver talent radio in Canada here.
Vancouver radio was incredible with the Fox and you know, LG and the Morning Zoo, and I played a part of that, and that was a riot. And so it was the basis that Danny, you and I talked. It was the basis, the foundation. My greatest memories of my life were from things of radio, like the ski team or the goofy stuff, trouble we used to get. All those radio stories, all the things that was the greatest moments of my life came from that business. You know.
Yeah, it was fun. It was when you were young, didn't have a lot of responsibilities, and you know, you could get the station van and drive around town, and that was always great.
Yeah,
especially when it was parked in front of your house.
Yeah, the road pig, we called it.
Yeah. Anyway, so how did you transition from there into doing strictly voiceover? You've also done some screen acting too.
Yeah, it was Vancouver. Like, I mean, I was in Brockville. We call it Brock Vegas. And I worked, did morning show there, and you know, Peterborough, the CKPT, the worst call letters in the world, doesn't exist anymore, I don't think. You know, went out west to I worked in London, BX93 in country. Had no idea what country music was, but they hired me for the afternoon drive, and yeah, I had a great experience there for a little while in the early '80s, and ended up in Vancouver, or mid '80s. Ended up in Vancouver in '89, and as part of the morning, I think I went out to do middays or evening. I can't remember what I did. I did all all this, the day parts, but I ended up in the morning zoo as part of the team. I started doing comedy and songs and pretty character, Cowboy Dick, howdy boys and girls, and play a little song, you know, and develop these things. And it was so much fun and the energy was great. But getting up in the morning really early at like 4 o'clock to get to work was just, that's not me. And I remember being sitting there, there's four or five of us, and the zoo master, you know, Dean Hill and Bob and everybody. And it was, the music, the first song would play, and I'm sitting there trying to wake up, and he says, okay, Dave, what do we got? I'm like, oh my God, I just want to go back to, I have nothing.
That's mornings. Yeah.
But I loved it. And the transition came when, down the road, when radio started to kind of be sold off, you know, the corporate thing was starting to happen, and it started to be less fun and more corporate-y, and the writing was on the wall. And I started at that time, I had a friend who was an agent, and he started sending me out on stuff on camera. And then I got my first animation audition. You know, I was a big fan of comic books and cartoons as a kid anyway. So my agent says, hey, do you do voices? And I said, you know, yeah, sure. I didn't know what he's talking about. He said, well, I got this audition for you. It's for G.I. Joe. And I think, G.I. Joe, well, I had those dolls. I watched the show. And so I went in and I did this, and I really didn't know what I was doing. And it was just, you know, quick, follow me toward the danger. It was Yo Joe. And I just, I don't know. And somehow they called me back and I read for a few parts, but I ended up getting cast as General Hawk. And from that moment on, being in the studio, like it's a radio play, with all at that time, my heroes in VO in Vancouver, I knew that the cartoon people, you know, it was a very small, tight-knit group, and the fact that I got in there was just it was a miracle. But somebody liked what I did, and from that moment on I would go back to I remember doing the show at LG, and I would literally, the monkeys were on MTV, and I was like, when we had that system where you just, the computer would take over, and I would literally, you know, boom, Madonna, LG 73, boom, and I'd just sit there and watch TV, and I was like, I had no interest in being there, and it was like, I didn't want it. And so they called me into the office one day. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, this is 93, early 94. And Chris Pandolf says, you don't really want to be here, do you? And I said, you know what? Not really. So he said, you know what? Let's, you know, yeah, listen, you know, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And it's been a great, you know, so why don't we just, you know, say, listen, this 2 weeks and we'll, you know, I know you're busy and doing stuff. Cause I was starting to get commercials, starting to get things. And I was really, really focusing on, okay, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And I remember that night I went, okay, we're done. 2 weeks, we're out. And I went home. Poor Maria, I think she was pregnant at the time, and I was down. I had a studio in my house as well, because I was beginning to do affiliate work at that time in the mid-90s, and when websites were just beginning to take off, and I had reel-to-reels and trying to make FedEx and that, and I finished my day, and I said, you know, I got a bottle of three-quarters of a bottle of Glenlivet in there. You know what? I'm gonna celebrate. I'm gonna get, it's just the beginning of something special. And I gotta, and in two in the morning again, 2 a.m. seems to be a thing. I had finished the entire bottle in my studio, and I somehow made it upstairs. And I remember, I think I was sick, and Maria was like, what's going on? I'm like, you know, and I woke up the next morning thinking, I'm an alcoholic. What the hell have I done? I'm, oh my God. So I called my best friend, Greg. I said, I don't know what's going on, man. I got finished the body. He said, well, I think I'm an alcoholic. He says, do you do this all the time? I said, no, it's the first time I've done this. And he laughed. He said, you're not an alcoholic. He said, get dressed. They'll pick you up or go to the Tomahawk for a greasy breakfast, this amazing breakfast place in North Vancouver. And that was it. That was basically the umbilical cord was cut. And it's like, all right, now I'm on my own. This is it. It's all up to me. And I much preferred that, because I love sports and things and situations where the pressure is just on me. It's not about, it's anything. It's like, it's up to me to do this. And then and then the baby happened. I go, okay, now I have a real purpose. And then the flame, I'll call it the blue pilot light, is on, and it's ready to roll, and it's always on. It still is. It's always on. It never goes off. And that's sort of when that happened. And I did all I can. I started doing theater, and I started getting auditions, and I got a couple parts. I was a horrible actor on camera, but, you know, X-Files and a few things, and had a fairly half-decent thing. But the voiceover stuff started to really happen. And then, you know, I'm going on here, Dan, but this is I'm just kind of.
I was going to jump in here and interrupt any second.
Yeah, but please, just stop me. But that's just, that's sort of how it transitioned from radio out into the, you know, what I just admire, love doing more than anything in the world.
Yeah, clearly, you know. I just want to remind everybody, if you've got a question for David Kay, we're going to get into a few more interesting things here. Throw it in the chat room. I know Jeff Holman is hiding in there somewhere and taking down your questions, and we'll get to the hymn and those questions in our next segment. So you were able to do a little bit of screen acting, too. Do you think that helped you a little bit more with your voice acting or vice versa?
No, I was horrible on camera. Sometimes I see myself on Happy Gilmore and I'm like, oh my God, God, why, what possessed them ever to put me? But it was the theater and it was the improv and it was all that stuff that started getting me out of my head. And I always, you know, and fast forward to that, you know, I do the trailers and promos, and then there's animation, and then there's commercials, and then there's radio and TV. There's all these different sort of things, like in a Swiss Army knife, where a certain skill, you know, you pop it up and the thing comes up and it's time to do that. I learned that from improv and theater. What was my point? I was going to make some brilliant, masterful point, and I've forgotten it. I'll remember it. But it was something I said, oh, yes, everything you do, everything has to be a living, breathing soul. The character has to exist. You know, it has to have a heart and a soul and a laugh and a breath. And it so that the more truth you can bring to anything you do, the more human you can. Even a promo, it's thinking of who you're talking to. And that's, Dan, it's the old radio thing where, you know, envisioning who it is listening. And I still see that. I still see exactly who I'm trying to communicate to. It's a very clear picture. And that helps me, you know, bring the truth to the character. And it's I play, it's like a game to me to try and to get to that point, because I was never satisfied with okay, good, mediocre. Oh, that's fine. I fucking hated that word. Oh, that's fine. Fuck. I want to make, how do we make it excellent and great? How do I get to that point? So that's been my lifelong thing, and you never get there. It's a continual, you know. It's you work at it, and I love the challenge, and every day's different. So,
yeah. Well, you've had some great parts. I mean, we won't talk about this very long, but you got this role of Megatron and Optimus Prime with the Transformers. That was quite a franchise for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had no idea what we're getting into, but I just did a convention this weekend at Burbank, and this, you know, there's thousands of people that still to this day, I'm still being paid for this damn cartoon, and we did it in '94. The coolest, see, here's another thing, and that's, it's awesome. I really didn't know, but for me as a kid, a 12-year-old boy, I got cast this past year in Eternals as Ereshkigal, the thing. Now, I remember as a 12-year-old reading that comic, and it was a little-known Jack Kirby comic. And so for me personally, seeing that in the movie theater, like the hair on the back of my head, I'm thinking, oh, my God, because this is here I'm in my 50s, and I'm like, it's my childhood. This is how the hell did this happen? You know, I don't know. I just don't ever grow up. To get up every morning and go, hey, it's a new day. What the hell? And to be a new soul every day is important in this business too. Because
no question. Yeah, my wife's the same way. It's like, when are you going to grow up? What are you going to do when you grow up?
Never.
We're doing it.
George, what's you know, Dan, what's oh my gosh, I've drawn a blank here. I took a class with her when she's brilliant. She teaches trailer. You know, Maurice.
Tobias.
Yeah. So she's the one person who called me out, because I took a class with my buddy with Howie. Remember, Howie took a weekend workshop before he moved to Los Angeles, and I was down here. I said, okay, I'll take a workshop. And, you know, it was promo, and I said, okay, I got to brush up and do some stuff. And she gave me some copy, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, tonight it's an all-new Elf, you know, whatever. I don't know what I did. And then I thought, oh, you know, it was all right. And then she's standing there behind the glass looking at me, and she started looking, staring, and there's silence. And I thought, oh, she's going to say that, hey, that's a pretty good read. I guess you know what you're doing.
But no, she doesn't do that. No.
But what she said, yeah, it's little that I know. But she said, you bore easily, don't you? And I'm thinking,
oh my gosh.
And I stopped and I said, holy shit. I said, that's But here's what that meant. It meant that she said, you have to make sure that every time you read that copy, because you do this day in and day out all the time, you're all, that it has to be fresh and new every time.
Can't it's call like, it in.
You cannot do, you know, you can't just, you has to be like, you're seeing it for the first time because you
have to entertain yourself.
Yes. You don't know what we're going to say to each other from one second to the next. It has to be the same with that. It has right. to be brand new. And I went, oh my God, that was the best money I'd ever, that moment was, she nailed me. Mm-hmm. She hit, that's it. And I think she's, I love her and I haven't seen her forever, but that moment went, oh yes, of course. You know, so, yeah.
Of course, she told me my mustache has nothing to do with voiceover. So,
well, your mustache has nothing to do with voiceover.
It's exactly what she said. So, yeah. But she is a great coach. I mean, she's, you know, she really understands the psychology of it, and so she.
Oh my God, did she ever? She's just like she dug in there with a spoon.
There's you.
Exactly. I see Terry Briscoe says here. Were there any effects on a Megatron voice? No. That was just, I'm kind of like my Optimus Prime character in TF Animated. Like, I'm naive and doing the best I can with the situation. I at that time, when the first audition for Megatron, I went in and I had all the stuff and I went, oh, I don't know. And Doug Parker says, all right, what do you got? And I went, yes, sir. And I did this thing and they called me back. And then I was sitting into the callback room and finally it hit me. Hey, what if I have Anthony Hopkins, Sean Connery, and a lizard? What if they had a baby? And like, how would that work? And I excellent. And sort of put a bit of a lisp on it. And that's the scenes in further episodes, they did some stuff with the voice, but that was just how that happened. You know,
Yeah. Well, we can talk a little bit about your tech. So you said you what are you working on right now? I mean, you talked about the Eternals. Oh, I know you're a busy guy. It sounds like 24 hours a day you're sitting in that room.
What you can what you can tell us about?
You haven't signed an NDA for.
There's a couple of those are great. They're prime time shows and they're very funny, irreverent. I can't tell you, but my God, it's so cathartic to be able to laugh these days. There's a couple of video games that are just coming out. There's a lot of trailers. The current trailer campaign I'm working on is this new Harry Potter movie, The Fantastic Beasts, and it's sort of a character read. They had me at the beginning. It was very sort of fanciful, wizard-like read, but they wanted that pull that back and make it more of a traditional trailer, but still have a bit of, you know, ride that wizard a little bit, you know.
When did trailers fall? Trailers? I mean, I've worked with David. I worked with you and so many other actors, and I hear them. Some of them, like, I'm still trying to crack this trailer thing, you know, years and years and years.
I'm still trying. I'm finally getting, it's a bit, it's been 10 years, 10 years of just scratching a lot of stuff, maybe more, probably 10 to 15 years. And, but
scratching
now
is like, it's kind of like an audition, but not.
Yeah. They want now it's the point now where they're asking more and more. Can you get David on this? Can we have David? And so it just takes a long time. And it's my favorite thing in the world, Dan, as well, George, is to do trailer. I love, as a kid, I was enamored by the voice that used to come on in the movie theater. Coming this April, it's a brand new Monsters. And those guys that did that. And Don was a friend of mine and a mentor. And I just thought, it's a pinnacle, and there's a way to do it, and there's a way sell it but don't sell it, you know. I always says my thing, but just trying to find the read it, because I'm kind of one of these cats is I'm all over the place, and Ashton, who I just adore, the read is just like, oh my God, and Howard Parker, and you hear them, I'm kind of like all over the map, and so I have to really try and hone in on something, whatever style it is. I don't know. I'm trying to explain myself. I can't sound like I'm putting on a voice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think the first, the Clint Eastwood movie, Richard, about the bomb, you know, the in Atlanta, the Olympics, the bomb went off. What was his name? What was the movie? I can't remember. But
I know what you're talking about.
But Warner Brothers hired
Casey?
Me for
not Casey.
Richard so-and-so. And I started just talking like this. I just started getting close to the mic and, you know, a Warner Brothers picture, you know, Clint Eastwood. And I didn't do anything. And they hired me and they put me on a Ben Affleck movie. And I went, oh, there's something I can hang my hat. Because it's just me. It's just me doing nothing. And then it took me so many years to just to not do anything. And that's what they hired me for, is me doing nothing.
Like Seinfeld.
It's exactly. I'm doing nothing. That's all I'm doing. You know, what I have to do, I just do nothing and they pay me? Perfect. You know, it took me like 25 years to just do nothing. And it's just developing a style. The Harry Potter thing is this April. It's more, I don't know. It's more of a character, but it has to... I don't really know. Again, at the beginning, I told you, I said, I really don't know what I'm doing. Sort of. I talk and hope something happens. How's that? Richard Jewell. Thank you, Daryl.
Richard Jewell. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Richard Jewell. Mm-hmm. That's all it did was say, Richard Jewell in Theaters Front. You know, it was all I needed to do. And they went, yeah, we like that. I go, damn. Okay. So, yeah, it's hard to, it's hard to sort of, just sort of think of like what I'm doing technically, but I enjoy the hunt, the process, and the and that to try and, like I said, to try and create something that's believable and has a heart and a soul, and I don't think about anything else except that. It's like when I ski or I'm in the gym, I think about one thing only, and it's just that when I have a clear mind, I can kind of. You know, if I'm trying too hard, I can tell. If I'm trying to, you know, trying to the read too hard, I'm trying. No, I need to just stop and come back and just do nothing. Richard Jewell. That's it. So I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does a little bit. Well,
yeah.
We totally understand it. You've just got to let go and be you.
Exactly. Basically, yes. Be you. And for many years, I was just trying to be other people.
Yeah. We're talking with David Kay. We're talking about his career and talking about what it takes to make it in this business. And if you've got a question, all you got to do is throw it in any of the chat rooms that we've got, and we'll get to that in our next segment. So we'll be right back with David Kay on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on the VoiceOver Body Shop.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. The files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
VoiceOverEssentials.com has the ultimate answer for mic safety. Look, your mic is the most valuable part of your audio chain, so protect it from boom stand disaster. It's the ABS, the adjustable boom stop. It's simple, ingenious, and infinitely adjustable. The padded non-slip pouch fits almost any size boom arm. It has a unique double-loop webbing system for an unlimited angle of the downstrap. It works with tripod and solid round bases. A strong articulated strap keeps your boom where you want it without weights, sandbags, or knuckle-busting tightening of the boom clutch. The light gray webbing lets you mark and repeat stand settings for just the right spot for you or anyone else who uses your microphone, saving time and guesswork. This is the simple solution that simply works. You'll kick yourself for not having thought of it. Lock it in place with our ABS, the adjustable boom stop. Get it now at voiceoveressentials.com.
I don't think there's a feeling quite like that moment when something you've auditioned for becomes something you get booked on, especially when it comes to audiobooks. You audition for an audiobook on ACX or in some other form or fashion, and then somebody says, hey, we like what you did. We want you to be our narrator. If that isn't a feeling that you've had lately because either you haven't figured out how to do audiobooks or because the efforts that you've put toward audiobooks just don't seem to be working, I've got a solution for you. Let's start with some free videos and then, if you want, registering for the ACX Masterclass. I'm David H. Lawrence the 17th. Along with Dan O'Day, I teach that class. And you can get to those free videos and to registration if you'd like at acxmasterclass.com/join. That's acxmasterclass.com/join. I'd love to help you get there.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
And we're back with David Kay. Got to get David to do a couple of trailers for us, or a couple of promo lines for us, when we get the chance. When I come and fix your radio again.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about tech. And again, if you've got a question out there for David Kay, throw it in the chat room, talking about anything that, you know, you might want to ask him about, you know, the stuff that he does. So, George, this is sort of your department. David, what do you have in there? You got a really expensive microphone, and you're in a new place. And tell us about what technically you're using in there.
Thank God for George, by the way.
We'll let him explain it then.
I was using years ago U67s. I just fell in love with them. It's the resonance, and they were a microphone that, you know, they use for baritone sax, you know, basically. But a lot of the animation shows around earlier when I was in Vancouver was the U87s were there, sometimes the TLMs. This mic is a Peluso P67 because we were having trouble with the U67s and the fact that we would, you know, the mic would be at Charlie Bowles half the time being fixed. They're wonderful sounding. They're just delightful mics. I just love them. But they're problematic in the fact that, you know, tubes and things, and George, you know, and you get a little fitzing and fuzzing and things happen. And you're like, oh my God, it's the, you're. So we tried to find a mic that would, is closely possible emulate and be that sound. There's a sound that I like to hear, that roll off, or that I'm a professional, so I said I want the best tools, and so let's find the best mic. And I just love these. It's made here. Is it Connecticut, George? Made in
I think it's Virginia,
Virginia.
Yeah.
And they just oh my God, I love these things. I have one in a place in Kelowna that, you know, this one here. But if I'm on the road, I use the standard Sennheiser shotgun
because 416.
I use that in the car. I use that in tri-booth. But I take this as much as possible with me if I'm going to be at a, you know, somewhere a longer period of time. Because I go from like in a world, you know, quietly to screaming, you know, and things have to, it has to handle all that stuff. And I don't want to have any issues. And with that, so the Apollo Twin here that George has set up, and we're going through Allen and Heath, right, George? And
yeah, it's not running the way a lot of people would think it's running. It's not going mic twin, Apollo Twin mixer.
Yeah.
It's actually going straight from the mic into the mixer directly into channel one. And we're using the built-in compressor on the Allen and Heath. And it's an amazing compressor.
It's just a slight compression. A lot of video games and a lot of animation that, you know, I'll just take it off.
Take the gain out, or just turn it off entirely.
But it gives it just a little bit of, you know, I don't use too much at all. That was my thing to use. I want it clean.
We're using the Apollo for a while. It might still be, I can't remember, but we're using it as the interface, but we're also using it as the expander. We're using it to just drop down the noise floor a little bit. Because there's this fan in that rack that's in there that was all.
Oh, there's no fan in here anymore. But
we unplugged it. We unplugged the fan.
Because we don't need, like, there's stuff in here. We really don't need it. Stuff in here we don't even need and don't even use. I have like the LA3A. Well, in Cologne, in Canada, we have the, there's a bit of a fan. There's a noise sort of that comes from the building or whatever. Yes. And so we had to put that gate in.
Yeah.
And not too many people, there's very, very few people ever even hear, you know, that can sort of hear. But, it's a comfort level too. I'm very, very particular about how I feel in here, because I need, this needs to be at this creative space. I don't want any like things that, I don't want anything that I don't feel like, no, I don't, what's that, you know, I'll move things on my desk because I just don't, it needs to be a certain way. I'm kind of nuts like that, but I've been doing it for, you know, 30, 35 years, going on 40, whatever it is. And that's just the way I am. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. You've got this thing where George was showing me where you have a volume control for your headphones that you play with constantly.
Guess where that, I don't usually, animation, it's off. Everything's off. I don't,
right.
But I usually, I one ear's off because I need to hear the natural sound, and I need to sort of monitor some characters and some things I need to hear. And it's an old radio thing, Dan. It's like it was the pots. I needed to have a
level.
Pot.
Yeah.
I ride the level because when you're in radio, you know, you turn the music up and 75 degrees downtown. And you're moving the dial off, and you can hear the roll off, and it just sounds kind of trying to hit the post. It's an old habit. And sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't, but it needs to be there because it's my little, what do you call it? An idiosyncrasy, George?
Idiosyncrasy. Sometimes it's like
a blanket?
Yeah,
it's like a Linus blanket. It's a Linus blanket.
A security blanket. Yeah.
Security blanket.
It's part of your technique. It's just, it's a proprietary technique.
You don't know. However it happens. There's a couple of questions here. Terry Briscus, had you ever done a trailer for the production you were actually in? Yes, Eternals. I did the UK trailers for the Eternals, and I was in the movie, which is weird. Who else has optic internet? Oh, yeah, fiber optic. We have fiber optic here, right, George?
Yeah. I think so.
Just bad cell coverage, I might note.
Cell coverage out front sucks.
I'm trying to get to your house, and you give me the wrong address. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
I did. Phone doesn't work. I don't know what's going on. We got a question here from Play the Voice. It goes, what's the best way to stand out in auditions in a good way? Which I think is a great question for you, because you were talking about, you know, you started auditioning and you started to book. What is it do you think that you're doing that gets you there?
Oh, gosh, it is the realism, I guess. But that didn't come till later, till I really sort of figured. Cam and Nist, one of my great agents, would say, DK, you got to connect it more. And I go, what? What are you connected? What the fuck does that mean? Connect. And then years later, I go, oh, right. Connect, like ground it. Like it's a human soul, heart, you know, real. Okay. I don't know. It's a feel when you see some copy, when you see a character, or you see a commercial. It's just the believability of it. I don't know. I wish I had an answer, because if it's written well, I love when a piece of copy is written well. We've all had those piece of copy that you just like. It's like the cogs in the wheel just don't. It's not working. It's horrible. And then when copy is written well, you're like, wow, this is fun. You can kind of dig into it. It's being able to, I don't know, I'm trying to, an example of NFL, Fox Sports, they have amazing writers, and the NFL guys do, they write some amazing copy, and even NASCAR, and so they're just great writers over there, that team, and it's storytelling at its base, and to be able to tell a story, and to picture you telling a story too in a personal way, it's sort of to try and find a placement, like The Princess Bride. Remember The Princess Bride? And the narrator was Peter Falk. Peter Falk, yeah. You know, and he had that thing. And so I would say, listen to Peter Falk, even if it doesn't even relevant to what you're doing, listen to how he's telling a story. It just, there's a quality to his voice. There's a little heart, you know, it's something about the way he tells a story that's so believable. And if you can bring that to whatever you're doing.
Watch Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Isn't that him in that?
Prince, yeah.
Yeah, he's the grandfather.
He's the grandfather. Yeah. Narrates the whole story.
And if you listen to it,
I'm just curious about this.
Yeah. It's just tell a story, like, you know, be intimate with the microphone, like really, you know, learn to be intimate with this thing. It's your friend. And try and really, I don't know, be as much truth as you can bring to anything you do. Not just read the copy, but dig into it. I don't know how to explain that. It just sort of took me so damn long to figure it. It's like, you know, it took me so long to get good at skiing and to get good at tennis and squash. And I forgot the blood, sweat, and tears it took just to get to the point where I'm, you know, that they still hire me. I don't know. I'm not much help.
This is not helpful.
This is not helpful. I'm a horrible coach. That's why they don't have me to these voiceover things, because I don't know how do I explain this.
It just oozes out of you.
It's a show about nothing. No, here's an exercise I do, and I taught a couple of times, and it's an acting teacher gave me this exercise, and she's brilliant, Shay Hampton, back in Vancouver. She used to give us cold reads, and there used to be a scene, and the two actors would sit across from each other, and we'd stare at each other, and that's uncomfortable to do. We'd stare at each other. You just look at them. You look at right in the eyes. It's tough to do, to connect. That's the connection. If you can sit there, and then when you kind of both feel like you're ready, maybe one starts to laugh a bit, and they're like, that's a true emotion. So at that point, you turn the copy over and you start. And if you're in the middle of a life, you're like, why did you do that to me? And so, oh my God, there's a real moment. And then, so the person turns over his and delivers their line. And because we don't know what we're going to say to each other. Like Maurice Tobias said, you know, you bore easily. You got to make it every time you do it. It's got to be different. It's got to be the first time you've ever seen it, the first conversation you've ever had. If you can bring that into anything you do, that's a freshness I'm shy of words. I'm not very good at words. I should find a career that
doesn't use words. That sort of defeats the purpose, though.
Or somebody else writes them for you, maybe. Perhaps is that what you're looking for?
I guess somebody says Terry said do a script analysis. No, you know what? And this is gonna shock you. No, and here's the reason I don't. It used to drive me nuts. I'd go in we used to go in person and do auditions. We used to somebody in the room going walking around. I go, oh, shut up, stop talking, and I have to go out of the room. I'm hearing these people nattering. Sometimes it's good just like the cold read. Roll the mic, roll the file, and start talking and see if anything happens. Sometimes magic happens because it's the first time you're seeing it. You don't have chance to kind of mark it and do it up. Now, some people mark it and do it. That's their thing. My thing is I want to get into it right away and see if anything happens. If it doesn't, okay, let's work on it. Let's dig in. Let's see what other, you know, voice quality, or maybe, you know, if I rough my voice up a bit and, you know, do a little older, maybe add a little age to it and, you know, be a storyteller and sort of, you know, here's my grandfather and I'm going to tell, you know, I got a surprise for you kids and Christmas morning, you know, whatever. Try and add layers to it. But I would suggest just read it and see if anything happens. That's how I do it. I don't, a lot of times, George, you see me work. Oh Christ, I got to get this done. Boom. And that's only because I've been doing it for 40 years. But that's how I do it. You know,
there's one last question. I know you got to go. Daryl's went kind of a long way around to ask you basically this.
It's just the last part.
What do you do to keep your voice great? Like getting to deal with mouth clicks, and do you use anything that you take, or do you have a regimen to keep your voice tuned and not have mouth noise and all the other stuff?
This is going to be boring, but yeah, I always have a glass of water in here. But first thing in the morning, 3 glasses of water before I even, you know, hit the floor. Mm-hmm. Because I work out all the time and I was sweating all the time. So I'm dehydrating myself all the time. I'm studying wine. So that's even an extra hydration. I do a gallon a day. I do a gallon of water a day. Every day. And that is really important, and that'll get rid of the mouth clicks, and that'll keep you. If you ever notice, you do the 3 glasses of water in the morning, you start to, your nose starts to run because you're getting, you're hydrating. It's really important to be high in this, in our dry climate out here. Good Lord, you know, and especially now. But, and I also, I use Alka-Lol, which is a nasal rinse every night before bed. Little thing, fit down the thing. There it is. I am so such a fan of that. And so that, keeping it, I mean, literally, silly stuff like, you know, keeping your teeth clean and then doing the mouthwash and doing the Alka-Lol and drink a ton of water. It's so important. That's why there's all those water bottles in there when you go into the studio. That's a reason for that. But yeah, that's how I keep
those are good tips and ones that I should probably do. And also very good right before you go to the urologist as well. David, I know you got to get rolling
I'm
on
so
us
I'm so sorry. I hope I...
No, you've been great.
Some little thing of wisdom of, I don't know, I'm never sure.
If you get one good thing out of a show, then it's golden. It's gold. So anyway, thanks for being with us. And we look forward to whatever it is that you're doing next. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
See you Thursday, David.
Yeah, so see you Thursday.
If I don't have COVID, I'll see you Thursday.
Everything is broken. You have to come and fix it.
All righty. David Kay, everybody. We'll be right back to wrap things up and rack it up for Tech Talk right after these messages.
Bye.
See ya.
You're still watching VOBS?
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
It's time to thank Source Elements because they keep sending us money to talk about Source Connect. We appreciate that. And Source Connect is a tool of the pros. It's really the one that is still requested by the biggest budget gigs out there. It's the one that the studio producers like to use because the audio comes right into the track in Pro Tools. They can immediately play it back for the client. The mix is being done during the session. That's what they like. And that kind of workflow is a key to why Source Connect is so popular. It's also so great because it maintains super high quality audio consistently. Now, occasionally you can have dropouts in Source Connect. It does happen. But that's okay because it also has its own built-in backup audio called Queue Manager. Now, it just does it automatically. As long as Queue Manager is logged in and the producer's on Source Connect Pro, he can get that audio. And it is a remarkable function of being able to automatically restore missed audio or dropped audio due to internet issues. It's just all built in. And as an actor, you don't have to worry about how that works. It's all being done on the back end by the server and by the producer. Really great stuff. Anyway, get it on your system if you want to be available for the big jobs. It's just a tool you have to have, but you also have to have the studio to go with it. Everything, it's a complete package. You have to have all of those elements working. So go get a demo, go to Source Elements, get their 15-day trial so you can start learning how to use it. Talk to Dan and I, make sure your studio sounds the way it needs to sound so you're ready to go and start being a pro. I can't say it any other way. It's one of those things. Yeah, does every job need it? No, but it really shows up on your resume, your website, whatever, as saying, I'm really taking this stuff seriously. I know I want to do those big gigs and I'm here for you. Anyway, Source Connect. Thanks again, Source Elements. And we'll be back to wrap it up in a second.
Yeah. Hi, this is Carlos Alizraki, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
Wow. Now, see, that was... He thinks he's not saying anything, but he was, you know, David Kaye was demonstrating to us for 45 minutes what it is he does. You know, it's very flow of thought, and it's a cool way to approach the business, I guess.
It's also really cool that he has a space that he can be on the show in his actual performance space.
We can hear him
in front of his actual microphone. You can see this. That's exactly where he is. When he does his thing, he forgot to turn on his light panel. He has an LED panel
he
put in
great.
There.
Yeah,
but it was still fine. It was always a pleasure.
He's a good example of mic technique. You know, if you were actually watching the video, you know, which we'll talk about in Tech Talk next week. But it's important to understand. You know, this guy is very. It's like a paintbrush, and you got to learn how to use it. And you know, when do you talk close to it, and when do you back off, and that sort of thing.
So. Andrew Peters does a podcast with me. He's like, I want to make a pop screen with an ear on it because I think of that thing like an ear.
Right,
that microphone is an ear. Like it changes the way I think about how I dress the microphone.
Absolutely.
You know, do you always talk into somebody's ear all the time? No, you don't always talk into their ear. You know?
Yeah. Anyway, next week on this very show, you should be here. And you can stick around if you're watching live, and you can participate live, and we'd love to have your questions. We're going to have Tech Talk number 75, which will actually mark the 11th year of George and I actually doing this. Believe it or don't. That's going to be interesting. We got lots of cool stuff to talk about on that. Who are our donors of the week?
I think we have some familiar names. It's
they
great.
Usually are, and we appreciate
it. Yeah, and all these folks are subscribers, so these names we read all the time. And first on the list here is Philip Sapir,
Tom Pinto,
Shelley Abellino,
George Whittam, your dad.
Brian Page,
Patty Gibbons,
Rob Ryder,
Greg Thomas. Thanks, Greg.
A Doctor Voice,
Ant Land Productions,
Shauna Pennington Baird,
Martha Kahn, who will be with us in 2 weeks.
Awesome. Don Griffith,
Trey Mosley, hey Trey,
Diana Birdsall,
and Sandra Manwiller. If you want to donate to the show, if you feel you're getting value out of this, you know, it's like public television or public radio.
Over there somewhere.
There's a donate button there on the website if you're watching over there. Join up and, you know, a dollar a month, $10 a month. You can send us $100, but and we won't complain, but, you know, it's not absolutely necessary. We got to start coming up with gifts for our donors again. You know, maybe, a handbag.
Anybody need any more tote bags by chance?
Tote bags.
Yikes. Or another coffee cup.
That's right. Now you've got office hours. I happened to stick my nose in there yesterday because I, on Clubhouse, it pops up on my phone. Oh, George is doing something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Didn't say anything, but
Yeah. Office hours. Yeah, I only do it twice a week for a half an hour at a time, so it's really office half hours. But it's for anybody who's ever booked a service with me from anything at all. You're a client. And you're welcome to join. It's a private Clubhouse room. You can just go on there and request to join it. If you're a client, I'll let you in. And we it's pretty free form. Just talking a little bit like we do on the show, but it's really more about getting through tech questions really quickly. Sometimes people have things that are pressing that, the timing works out great and I can answer them. This morning I was answering questions for Lori Allen about her computer and what the new one she should buy is and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, the new thing that we're doing.
Cool. Well, we need to thank our sponsors as well, because without them, this would just be a blank page. Anyway,
it would be a dial tone.
Remember dial tones?
It's a landline anymore. Right? It's two tones that make a dial tone, right? A higher and a lower one.
Right.
You do the higher one, I'll do the lower one. That
doesn't sound anywhere near correct. Anyway, we need to thank our sponsors like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And JMC Demos.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Holman for holding the fort down in the chat room and getting those questions.
I saw him on a commercial for a show on HBO Max called Minx.
Oh, that's right. He's on another
one. It was just an ad popped. I don't even have HBO Max, but I saw the ad, and it was like one of those ads where they show the different characters. I'm like, there he is.
That's cool. Yeah. Our thanks to Sue Merlino, our amazing technical director, who just switches the shots and does all the things, and she does it from her desk in Burbank. Not even here. We'll get together soon. Yes. And Lee Penny, who we know is watching out there just for being Lee Penny. Well, we're going to rack it up for Tech Talk, and we got lots of cool stuff to cover. If you have a question about voiceover studio technology, you know, microphones and all the equipment that we use that, you know, most of it that we probably shouldn't be using, throw those in the chat room and we will get to those questions, because that's one of the things that drives our show and we really appreciate it. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Yeah, a little shorter than usual, but David Kay had to go running off and we appreciate him joining us. Mm-hmm. But Tech Talk next, and that's going to do it for Voiceover Body Shop this week. Not an easy business. There's a lot to learn, and you got to find out who you are. But when it comes to your audio, if it sounds good.
Oh, it is good.
That's right. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.
BS.
All right. We'll be right back with Tech Talk, but thanks for watching.